Hey, 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 this is J.R. McNair, Velocity Small Business Radio. We have some great people here today in the studio, right here in the great place of Buckhead in Atlanta, Georgia. We're excited because I have some, our first two guests that I'm going to be speaking to today are, they have a lot of things that they're doing, but a common thread that kind of lies between the two of them is the hair industry. And so, you know, I'm going to have Mr. Harvey kind of start us off and say hello to our guests.
Hello to our guests. What's happening? Can we do one more thing? Can we turn that music back on? I just always felt like that feels like an overhead clap song right there. Go ahead, pump it up. Overhead clap. Come on, Dallas, here we go. All right, guys. Just feels like that's what happens with that music.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just point to one side of the crowd and then skip to the other side.
Exactly.
And overhand clap.
Exactly. Yeah. You make it work.
Get the crowd hype, baby.
Hilarious.
I'm hype. I hope you guys are hyped now.
No, we are hype. We are hype. He's keeping us hype in the studio here. And then we have Ms. Monica here. Monica, hello.
Good evening. Hi.
Hi, hello. Yes, and we are so excited, and I have my man D on the ones and twos here.
Yes, 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 y'all. Chiba, chiba, y'all.
You supposed to have a choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. You supposed to have one of them buttons.
Oh, trust me, I have it. I have
it. I know
it.
You got it. You look like you got it,
Doc. He has all the buttons.
I know
over
he
there.
Does. You can't just have all those buttons and not have the button. You know
exactly.
Yeah. I know. Listen, we're in the studio, and I wish we're gonna take a picture when we leave here, so y'all get to see the picture because Mr. Harvey is in here with this fabulous red coat on. Oh, man, you know, making us look feel like we just underdressed for real. And so
I'm just loving those enamel pins.
Hey man, hey, you know, listen, right on, brother. Hey. To the power of the people. You know, I don't even know if this is like a tangerine. This is a tangerine.
It's tangerine. I guess it is, right? Mm. But you know, they say some men are like a little colorblind, I guess.
Yeah. No, shoot. I was colorblind. I was like, let me get that red. And that's like, no, sir.
That's tangerine.
It's tangerine. Okay. Oh, excuse me.
I think it's blood orange.
Yeah, ooh, right. Okay.
Like that fancy drink, too. You know that little right. Sparkling drink? Yes.
Yes. Exactly. So we are, Mr. Harvey, why don't you tell people what you do, because I know you do several things, and so I don't want to just limit you to just the hair, yes. But I know you do that. That's probably the thing that's got you, that was your mainstream that kind of got you into the other streams.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me.
First off, thank you for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on a panel with such a lovely young lady who's doing such great things, you know, too. I feel like we got some powerful things going to be said today. I started off as a barber. I've been a barber since I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been sweeping up hair in the shop, cleaning off the clippers since I was a little fat kid. They used to call me Bookman back in the day. They used to kill me. I was the custodian at the shop. So from 12 to 15.
But that's how you get your
chops. You get your thick skin.
That's right.
You know, that's why I'm double skinned now.
That's
you know
right.
What I'm saying?
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Big boned. I'm double skinned.
Yeah, double skinned. There
you know
it
what
is.
What I'm saying?
Just put it on a t-shirt.
Put it on a t-shirt. Double skinned, baby.
Double-skinned,
you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
But nonetheless, though, I've been blessed to be start off in barbering, but I also do stand up comedy. I have a TV show that I executive produce called Ghost Brothers. It's on its third season, or our fourth season, actually, coming up on Travel Channel for our fourth season this upcoming year. You know, we also have, we'd be considered a celebrity barber, to say the least. Probably have one of the strongest clientels as far as African-American barbers or barbers, period. And now I'm opening up an art gallery that has a men's grooming spa in it also. So we're trying to do some really innovative things that's going to kind of take over the, like really take the barbershop experience to a whole nother level to where it really is, you know, because it's inspired so many people over the years. So
that's awesome. So what made you want to change? I guess some people say if it's not broke, then don't fix it. So, I mean, what made you want to innovate in that way?
Well, I mean, I would it'd be more so revolutionizing because it's going back to its original factor, right? Back in the day when, you know, African-Americans were set free, some of the first entrepreneurs that were done were barbers. And typically, you know, we were well-educated because we had to have, you know, just those type of conversations and things of that nature. And we just had a different, you know, ability to just be able to make money quicker. So What I've realized is, you know, most of the barbers, especially in Atlanta, one of the first millionaires in Atlanta was a barber. So it's just like really just bringing that type of pride back and that type of like understanding of like how powerful the barber is in the community of influence, you know, and in the sphere of influence, with the barbershop being the last brick and mortar, you know, that really truly exists, you know, that has, you know, people coming in and out of it every day. It's the ultimate, you know, how would I call it? Focus group. It's the ultimate focus group, to be totally honest. You know, you're going to know if music is good, bad. You're going to know if, you know, somebody's performing great or terribly in the, on the court. You know, we're going to critique you about sports. We're going to critique you about style. We're going to teach you about style. We're going to teach you about music. We're going to do all these things. So the barbershop is typically where every black man has met the first entrepreneur of their life, you know, is their barber. So it's just really just kind of bringing more awareness to that now.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I think that also when we look just in the industry as a whole, the hair industry and in the black hair industry, the first one of the first documented black millionaires in our country was in the hair industry, Madam mm-hmm. C.J. Walker, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
And so she ended up doing some revolutionary things that even to this day, the way she set up the networks and the things of that nature with the women that went out and sold her products, and it was just revolutionary. Even to this day, it would, for somebody to have done it on that magnitude, it would be amazing. But to have done it as long as she had done it, that's amazing. So I guess that goes to speak to the level of knowledge that comes from that industry.
Yeah.
When we go in there, of course, you talk in everything from politics mm-hmm. to religion
yes.
to sports
yes.
to economics.
Yes. Yeah. Everything.
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 Philosophy.
Everything is, that is like, I think if, even speaking of philosophy, it's like, it would be like the meeting place of all the, you know, cultural people, you know, of our day now.
That's correct.
Because typically you can literally have every person from a walk of life in the barbershop all at the same time, of every demographic all at the same time, responding on one common thing, what may be the conversation, whether it may be, like we said, a game, whether it may be economics, experiences, and different things of that nature. So, but to more so answer your question, where I got all this from was two places. One, relearning my history of barbers, right? Just like relearning like the power and the, you know, the mentality of what a barber is as far as like their impact on communities as a whole, you know. Second, traveling has really elevated my idea of what this could actually be as far as a barbershop. So, like I said before, 555. Hold on a second. I got to put that up there.
You saw that. For those who can't see.
Oh, it says 5'5". Okay. DJ, get him real quick. Hit him with that voice, too. Hit him, go.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hit him with that voice.
There it is.
Smooth jazz.
Oh. Yeah,
so, it's 555.
Yes, on the dot. So, I just saw it a second ago. But nonetheless, though, traveling... like I said before, being blessed with being able to be a celebrity barber, I've been able to be blessed to travel the world. So one of my best clients just so happens to be Nas. So I've traveled all over the world with Nas, from Africa to anything on this scale. I feel like they look at it like, man, if my barber is doing it, how much more can I? If I've even had more college experience than he has, I have just as many connections, or, you know, I just want to inspire in that sense. That's why we have the art that the level that we're going to be having in there, before the sheer fact that they need to see that this is what we do. You know what I'm saying?
Like, most definitely.
This is what we do. We control the culture, or as Rhapsody would say, we control the cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, most definitely. One of the things that when we were talking about philosophy, when we look at back in Rome and you'd see Socrates
yes.
and Plato, or all these, this is the modern day place where
yes.
the modern day philosophers would come to speak
and debate
and debate. And what on a lot of those things that are important, you know, I sit down with so many different people from all different backgrounds, dealing in all different professions, from politics to media to any place in commerce. And when you come into a place like a barber shop, you're talking about, you have to be well versed on a lot of different things. You can't just go in there and be able to just speak on one subject, because you might have 20 different subjects that come up within the hour and a half that you're there, or longer, depending on how busy it is. So that's amazing. I wanted to take an opportunity to kind of just shift place with you on. I had a friend of mine who was kind of, he was similar to you, but he wasn't in the hair industry, but he had a lot of different things that he had rolling, and he was a comedian.
Okay.
And so a friend of mine, John Gray.
I know John Gray.
You know John?
Hey, you know, it's funny. And it's funny because me and John Gray knew each other before we kind of both were kind of like moving towards that. He was working at New Birth at the time.
Okay.
And I was actually a chauffeur at New Birth. Like, I was driving everybody from like Fred Hammond, like Israel, Kurt Franklin, and like they were like requesting me to drive them, right? Because, you know, back in the day, you know, when New Birth was New Birth, they was having everybody. So, like, you know, I would be in the back room. They'd be like, "Hey, Marcus, but you know, God bless you, Doc." You know what I'm saying? You know how Eddie had that head right there going.
Yeah, right.
Like, God bless him, you know, in his ministry. But it'd be like all that. But nonetheless, though, man, it's kind of crazy. Like, I even call those things like knowing people like before they grew, like blew up. I feel like it's a success cluster is a term that I like to use. A success cluster is when everybody is on the same level but has an enormous amount of passion that actually exceeds where their level of actual working is. So, like, seeing John Gray just pop up and blow up like he is, you know, it's like kind of like dope, you know.
But people say that they look at that as an overnight thing. I seen John grinding forever.
Yeah.
You know, when I first met John, so I went first to a concert, to a show, a play, and I didn't even know who he was. I was just, somebody had given me some tickets to a play. I went to a play, and it was a play he did. It was like the one man show at it was at the Civic Center. And then and I was like, and I remember I took my fiance at the time. We went, who's my wife now, so same person.
Come on, somebody. She was like, she come back and like,
hold on, say, who was you talking about? Really? Really? Right. I thought you was really talking about business.
Exactly, right? And so we went there, and one of my other business colleagues, she said, you know what? She would always introduce me to several people, and she was like, I got somebody who needs some assistance. Boom, boom. So we connected. We ended up working with him for years. He used to come in from Nashville, pick him up, drive him. You know, he'd drive him to my office. We'd sit down and chat and, you know, do those things on that end. And I hadn't seen him in years. And I was in the airport, and he was married. And then the next time I saw him on TV again, on TBN.
Yeah.
And then I saw him on TBN again. He had a... I saw him, all these people. I said, why is he all those people? And I just didn't realize he was doing the stuff with Joel Osteen. Yeah. Then, you know, blink my eye again, and he had a church. Yeah. His church.
Hey, man, listen. Well, especially when you get up with Joel will get you right.
Hey, look, right?
Say, hey, everybody, I might not blink. Yeah. I'm going to put you on.
Put you on, right?
Put you on, black
That's
man.
Right. That's right. That's right. I like that. So tell people about your place now. Where you are, in King Plow, and tell them, is it open yet?
No, we're doing a soft opening the 15th of December, but we will be doing our grand opening January 18th. So, like I said before, it's just really just a hub of, like, creative and artistic greatness and excellence, you know, in a sense, like, I really want it to be a hub to where when anybody comes to Atlanta or even America, they have to come to the Musa Layer. Because it's like something that is like a bucket list item for a brother. Like, we have we actually have a service in there where it's a $10,000 haircut, where you get your own clippers, your own cape, your own it's a massage. It's like a whole day, but we give you 24 karat gold clippers, as well as use none of the most expensive products on your head. So it's a sultan type of service, and I believe that all brothers will, you know, deserve something like that. You know, we don't have an item like that. You know, you can't really say a brother can just say, like, yo, there's an item that I have to have and I can splurge on like that. So
yeah, totally. I mean, man, you need to have some security in there.
Right. Hey, man, listen, I got two pit bulls. Now they loose.
Yeah.
And I ain't trading yet. You know, they bit me a couple times.
Okay.
Just kind of cut in real quick.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, one, I love the name.
Thank you.
I mean, when I hear it, it just speaks to me.
Yes.
And second, $10,000 haircut.
Hey man, it's an experience, bro.
That yes, yeah. I can only imagine what yes. what that's gonna be like.
Exactly. And we have membership packages, one where we have lockers for our clients who are a part of our membership, where they get access to all of our art galleries before they open. You know, they have private showings. You have your own choice liquor that goes into your locker, cigars, you know, just things that just really elevate the black man's experience, really. And that's one of the things. But the Musa Lair, the name actually came from Mansa Musa, the wealthiest man of all time.
Yeah.
You know, West African king. One of the things, the reason why we named it the Musa Lair is not necessarily because of his wealth, but because of what his wealth affected and how his generosity affected economies. So most people would know that when Mansa Musa went on his pilgrimage, he actually went through Egypt or Cairo at one point and actually gave away so much money
bankrupt.
That it actually set the economy, you know, influx into influx.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've decided to do is like nowadays we know that our currency is actually culture. So we want to be able to, you know, have so much culture in a space that whenever we go on our pilgrimages across the land, whether it be our homes, whether it be wherever we're going, we take some of that Musa Lair and actually change the whole economy, the whole outlook on that space. I just came up with that on the head.
Look.
Boy. God, no. That's real, though. Like, that's really what I mean. And that's all. And I just never been able to articulate it until today. That's really what our whole goal has always been, to like really elevate the mind of the brother, of the entrepreneur, like not only just being a small business, but like to have a whole mindset of like, yo, I can do something that's on a whole nother level that puts a footprint on the world and on culture that has not even been seen just yet. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally do.
So, yeah,
that's awesome, man. Yeah, I think that that's phenomenal. And I want to ask you two questions.
Yes, sir.
The number one question is, what is your greatest mistake that you've made in your entire career, and what's the greatest win? And okay. You can answer them in any order that you like.
All right. Okay. I'll answer it like this. My greatest win was my greatest mistake.
Okay.
So, like, by me making the mistake of not being able to protect myself, it allowed me to always protect myself in the future. And in turn, as I was learning how to protect myself, I was able to teach others how to protect themselves, and in turn, like, change a whole culture. So one of the things that I did was I didn't even protect my name, even though I knew how amazing it felt. Like, I knew that it gave me that, and gives you that type of feeling. You know, it's a Musa, like I said, Mansa Musa, the lair is a retreat for a wounded animal. And as always, we see as black men, we can't even drive sometimes without feeling like we might get wounded. So when you come to the lair, that's the first place that you can actually come to where you feel so secure and actually celebrated and actually pampered in a specific time. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's the Musa Lair, a retreat for a king. So nonetheless, I just feel like it's just, I mean, it's just, it's a lot, dog. I'm sorry.
No problem. Yes. No problem. I think that you, when you say protecting and making sure, a lot of people, especially in the black community, don't end up focusing on things that are critical to their business succeeding, like mm-hmm. protection, intellectual mm-hmm. property,
yes.
things of that nature,
yes.
Even getting your domain.
Yes.
You know, I just tell people all the time, you know, get your name. If you can get your name, you know, I have jrmcnair.com.
Yes.
And it's really simple. Nobody else can take that domain name. And it's just simple things like that that you can do to protect yourself, because we have personal brands as well as business brands.
Yes.
And I think you want to make sure that you protect both.
Yeah, I've had to pay more to get my brand back as a result of not protecting my brand than I would have just by protecting my brand. So in order, if I would have just got my LLC, I mean, the LLC and my trademark, and then maybe even done like a 501c3 also to do all my philanthropy type work, mm-hmm. then when I did the name, then somebody wouldn't have been able to buy my name and then have it to, like, when I need to go back to get it, sell it to me for like $10,000, $15,000. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's what I say my biggest mistake. But at the same time, I look at that $10,000, $15,000 loss as like, oh, I can do a class that can actually show people how not to go into the same position that I went and actually get more than $15,000. And on top of that, I'm going to just write that off nonetheless. So it's like, yeah. I just find, like, there's no, now in today's life, there's no way to lose.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The only way to lose is by not doing.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the only way to lose now is by not doing. Because even if you are doing and you mess up as you're doing, you're still going to get protected by somebody who sees you doing.
Yeah, totally, totally. I agree. My thing that I tell people all the time is business success is about 80% action, 20% planning and education. So you've seen a lot of people in business all the time who don't have a clue and don't have no plan, but they're acting. And because they're acting and they're out there, they're successful. So I always tell people, people always talk about Peter sinking when he went on the water, when Jesus said, come on the water, and he goes and he sinks. But he was the only one that got out the boat.
Only one. So, he the only one got wet. Come on, church.
So that's the thing we got to look at. No, take those chances, and I think that's great. So, yes. No, well, we appreciate that. That was great, right, guys?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
There it is. So, and we're gonna move. Well, you know, before I move, I would like for people to know, how do they get in touch with you? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you guys can follow me on my Instagram. It's the Marcus Harvey, THE Marcus Harvey. And my links there is pretty much all everything that I'm when I work with. I also do work with Walker and Company Bevel.
Okay.
So I'm one of the main tool technicians for that situation. So it's just some dope stuff going on over there too. And I also work with a company named Squire. So you'll see a lot of things that I've done, some work with that I've done with them, as well as some of my philanthropy work with Prom Kings that I just got done doing, which is a program that we do with underprivileged young brothers. And I actually give them tailor fitted suits for their prom, as well as makeovers, as well as a 6-week course on, you know, communication skills, just being able to express themselves, being able to really talk and be able to be comfortable with themselves. And it's just a dope little experience. So we're doing a lot of things. So if you could just follow me on Instagram, the Marcus Harvey, and yeah, that's how you got your boy.
I like it. So y'all make sure y'all follow him, because he's doing some amazing things, and we want to stay in touch and see all the new things you're about to get into.
And so, catch me next Wednesday at Ron's Chicken and Rock, where we got 2 chitlin special with 1 side. Listen, on Tuesdays only, $4.99.
Only on Tuesdays.
Only on Tuesday. Don't you come up on there on Wednesday, because them chitlins going to be gone.
Are they chitlin tacos?
They chitlin tacos. Now it's a hard shell, so it may get a little... I don't even want to talk about it. Come on now. Get on up here. Come on up here. We got chitlin loose. Oh, yeah. Also, check out my show. If you guys want to check out my TV show, it's called Ghost Brothers.
Okay.
You can just look it up on anything. Just Google it. It's a dope show. You guys will love it. You'll see some interviews from me and my guys from when we were on Stephen Colbert. We was on the Today Show. So we've done some really dope things. So you got to check it out. Ghost Brothers. It's black folks. Hey, come on, black folks. Support your brother.
There it is.
I'm the only black man hunting ghost out here.
There it is.
Besides Jesse Duplantis. And we know he ain't no brother. That just sounds like a brother's name, Jesse Duplantis. I love y'all.
Good deal. Good deal. That's awesome. That's awesome. We appreciate it. And that was great. And yeah, most definitely. And we're going to roll straight in from there into Monica. Monica.
Hey,
Monica.
Don't be scared.
Listen, I want to make sure that we know exactly who Monica is and get her situated in there. And I know that she is doing some amazing things in all different fronts. I had an opportunity to meet Monica. She came to one of our Velocity events. She came to Grow Atlanta at the Cobb Galleria Center in October. And I got to meet this wonderful person. We have had the opportunity to work together, and she's doing some amazing things. She has a background that really scopes all spectrums. She has been active duty military, military reserves. She has done a little bit of everything. She has been in a nurse in the medical field. She has also had the opportunity to just do a bunch of different stuff at all these different spectrums. And she's an amazing, talented woman. And I wanted to make sure we got her on here to talk about her companies, Regal Me, and to also talk about this new product. I mean, well, it's not her new product, but her newest featured product, which is Nurse Miracle. And also, because we have a, I have an additional surprise at the end. She's actually, we're going to talk a little bit about this new venture that she's going to be doing in the media. I'm going to talk a little bit about that at the end also. But Monica, just tell the people about yourself and, you know, a little bit about your company.
Well, I feel like I am on a mission to be a beacon of hope for the masses, wherever they may be.
That's right.
And eventually, maybe it may expand beyond our world as we know it here in the United States. It may expand, you know, throughout the nation. Because I am the recipient of these products being beneficial. So I'm making products that I feel are beneficial. And specifically Nurse Miracle, this is the one we want to really, like, hone in on, because I feel like this is going to help a lot of people and give them hope.
Tell the people what Nurse Miracle is and how does it help people?
So Nurse Miracle is a natural product for the hair and beard. And it is a scalp stimulator, and I am the recipient of its benefits because I had severe alopecia so bad until I had to wear protective styles, as we call it. I could not wear my own hair because of the condition of my alopecia. And this was not an episode. This was a condition which lasted for many, many years. Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. And so, yeah. And what happened, at what point, and when did you start developing, saying, you know what, you had to, tell them about your story and how you actually went through the process of going to these different doctors and.
Oh, yes. So I experienced things from childhood, first of all, thinning hair just from childhood. But as I became an adult and using chemical-based products such as perms and dyes, my hair would break off. Just if you looked at it, it would break off.
Oh, wow.
So I decided to seek medical attention, and I was advised to get steroid injections. I had a scalp biopsy where they take a plug of your scalp out and take it to the lab and look and see if they can see anything going on a follicular level, which is beneath the skin. And they came back and told me I had alopecia, and some of it was due to braiding, and I had had surgery on my scalp. So, you know, I was told that my follicles were dead from another professional. It was almost as if I was hopeless based on the results and the diagnosis that I was given, that your follicles are dead. Once the follicles are dead, they do not grow back. And we can try to do the corticosteroid injections. And I had the laser light from another place. I went to several different places looking for hope. And I kind of turned within and started seeing what can I do instead of reaching without. Because when I reached out, what I got back was hopelessness, mm-hmm. which is why today I'm like, okay, Nurse Miracle transformed my life. And I feel like I'm walking in a miracle, and I want to help others who may be hopeless. And that can be people with hypothyroidism, which causes hair thinning and hair loss, lupus patients, people with alopecia, such as myself, people with conditions caused from braiding and weaves, and people with chemotherapy. So Nurse Miracle can help all of those conditions, hopefully. As many people that can benefit from it, I wish them the best.
Yeah, most. Yeah. So obviously the doctor or the healthcare professional who said that the hair follicles, once they're dead, they can never grow back, or they were false, because I see hair on your head. So
I mean, they used instruments, high-tech instruments, like it's a wand that's like a microscope, but they hold it in their hand and they put it up to your scalp. And so it magnifies what we see with our naked eye, just, you know. And they're showing me on the screen look, this is your follicles, and this is, see how it's, you know, scarce here, and they're dead, and they're not going to grow back. So, yeah, I had, not just by word of mouth, but I actually was seeing through technology that there was no hope, pretty much.
And then when did you get to the point to where you developed this product?
Well, a few years later, I just started researching and looking up natural means of hair growth. And I started to make my own product. But to be honest, I didn't think that it would make me where I could wear my own hair again. I really just, I can't explain it. I used it, but I didn't. I wanted to believe, and I asked for it, but on the other hand, I didn't believe. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, we do it all the time. We do it all the time.
Yeah, so so I really used it to freshen my braids because when you use essential oils, they are antimicrobial, antibacterial, and so therefore you're not going to get it's going to freshen the smell from you wearing those extensions and stuff for prolonged periods of time. So I used it to freshen my braids. It also moisturized my scalp, and I used it to stimulate my scalp, but I didn't think the stimulation would cause these great miraculous results, so...
Most definitely. And when did you find out that it actually did the had the other effect of growing hair?
Once I actually cut my hair all the way off in 2017, I was able to do some other things, which is why I would love to consult with people. Because if you go in a store or you go online to my products and you buy Nurse Miracle, you don't know these other things that you can do. So I applied manipulation, and I applied moisture, which also includes water. And I did these things kind of like on a ritual-like basis. And that's when I started to see results after I cut my hair and I was manipulating my scalp. You know, contrary to popular belief, we're hearing that we have these protective styles, but they're not really protecting us. They're harming us because we're not able to manipulate. We're not able to wash. We're not able to moisturize like we should. So when I stopped doing the protective styles is when I saw results.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a contrary truth that most of society believes is one way, but it's actually... The opposite is true. Mm-hmm. And so they believe that by protecting their hair with extra hair and extra things that it's going to help their hair grow. But it actually ends up doing the opposite.
It's an oxymoron because it's not really protecting it. I mean, they say if you don't touch your hair, it grows. If it's dirty, it grows. Well, we all have our different beliefs, and I just don't believe that.
Most definitely.
For me, it didn't. Work.
It didn't work.
No.
And so this Nurse Miracle product, who are your ideal customers? Who are the people that you would say, this is my customer, this is who I want to focus on? Who would that be?
Well, first of all, as I said when I first start talking, people who will feel hopeless, whatever their condition may be, that's number one. Number two, those who have hypothyroidism, because it's well known that it causes hair thinning, hair loss. Alopecia, that's a diagnosis, and it's just simply hair loss. But some of the medical professionals will say your follicles are dead. Thinning hair, a lot of us experience thinning. Patchy beards.
And that's one thing I want to say, too. Guys, listening, this is for you also. I've seen pictures on her Instagram and pictures on her website of men who before they had patchy beards, you know, and then they spray it and they apply it. Mm-hmm. And within a month, they have their beards are filled in. And yes. It's amazing.
Yes. And so, like I said, a lot of females have the issues around the edges with extensions and the glues that we're using to apply these units, as they call them, or, you know, the wigs, and also chemotherapy patients who One physician that I work with told me that when it's chemotherapy, the hair grows back. Well, I actually had an employee, and she's on my website. You can go and see her. Denise is her name. And Denise had chemotherapy, but after a year, her hair did not grow back in a certain spot. And so that's kind of a myth as well, that just because you have chemo, the hair will grow back. Some people still experience patches where it doesn't grow all grow back. Mm-hmm. And so chemotherapy patients as well.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So in your journey and what you're doing and everything that you have done, what would you say is your biggest mistake that you've made along this journey of entrepreneurship in this genre?
I thought about this question when you asked the previous person that was being interviewed. I don't have any regrets. Or what was the question?
over your life, what would you say? Just period. Just in life, period. What would you say if you could give some advice to somebody coming behind you? You know, what would be, you say, hey, you know what? If I could take it back, I wouldn't have done this. What would you say that would be?
I don't think I have anything that I would not have done, because everything that I've done has led me to where I am today.
Yeah, I get it.
I am extreme optimist. So okay. I really don't feel like there's anything that I should not have done. But I can say, when you search within yourself, it's okay to give and it's okay to love others. But when you truly love yourself, and I feel like when you love yourself and find yourself, you can do for others, but you can do for others in a greater way when you love yourself. I know Whitney Houston said it sounds cliche, but I think that is so important to love yourself. A lot of things we do in life, I think we make mistakes, and I can't say I've made a lot of mistakes because I don't think I truly love myself.
Sure.
And when you internalize and love yourself, and that just sounds so like, well, how do you love yourself? That's a deeper conversation. But I just think that when you love yourself and you find yourself and you learn to do things that are intuitive, searching within yourself, then you're a greater person for humankind. And you're able to do greater things for others.
Yeah. No, and I just want to hop in real quick, because a lot of people don't think about it. But if you've ever flown on an airplane, flight attendants, they tell you all the time, you got to put on your life vest before you can try and save somebody
else. And that oxygen mask too.
Yep. That oxygen.
Yes.
No, and I mean, the whole point is, you know, the greatest commandment is to love others just as you would love yourself. But if you don't love yourself, then how can you love others?
So. A lot of times we walk around and we're doing things in human nature based on our neighbor and looking out the window and looking on social media. And we're not really in tune with who we are and what we can be. We can be so great, but we're too busy looking at others.
I definitely like that, because you got to love yourself first. And I think a lot of us end up spending years of time where we're not focusing and loving and spending that time on ourselves, mm-hmm. so that we can properly love other people. So I think that's a great answer.
Yeah.
My other question was, what's your biggest gain? What is the biggest thing that you say, boom, this was it in my life?
My biggest gain, even though it may sound contradictory, even though I say love yourself, my biggest gain was when I grasped the philosophy that it's not about me, but it's about what I can do to make the world better. So it's not always about me. And when I realize that this is so much bigger than me, that's why I say I'm a beacon of hope to other people. I love myself, and I want to help other people as well.
But I think it's definitely not a contradiction. It's definitely, they both set in themselves their own way, because first off, you have to love yourself, but then once you learn how to love yourself, then you can learn how to love others in the right fashion and in the right way. Mm-hmm. So that was great. I think that's great. And how do people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you about that great product. I do want to say this. Mm-hmm. On her website, she has some other great products, and I've had the pleasure of using them. She charcoal masks to body shave, butter to body scrubs to.
And the charcoal mask whitens teeth.
Yeah, she. I've yet to use it for my teeth yet, but I'm going to try it. Yes. So how do people get in touch with you?
So please reach out to me via Facebook at The Regal Me, TheRegalMe. And also the website is TheRegalMe.com, spelled the same way. And then on Instagram, I am me_Regal.
Most definitely. And then at the_Regal. _me.
Yes. Instagram is okay. If I just said me_Regal, that was Twitter.
That's the Twitter.
me_Regal is Twitter. Instagram is the Regal Me with a underscore between. So there's the_Regal_me.
Most definitely. And you can find all these products. And one of the things I wanted to say, she is actually going to be coming on with one of our with one of our other co-hosts, and they will be hosting our hair show, just talking about just hair and things that are happening in the hair industry in and across Atlanta and across the nation in the black community, just talking about hair and how it, the different products, the different services, the different tools, all the things that we can do to help us with our hair. So we're going to have some information on that also and how you can get in touch with her. That was a great time to talk with Ms. Monica. Thank you so much.
Yes. And if you want to further consult with me, you can check out the website also. And I already gave you how to get there, which is theregalme.com.
Most definitely. We appreciate it. And last but not least, we have the headliner here at the end to close it out. Right?
No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah. Miss Constance, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. We are excited to have you here. And kind of just talks about a lot of the stuff that I always talk about in my life that is important, really has gotten my success in my life, and that's with relationships. I'm very big on relationships, and anybody that knows me, I always tell them, hey, it's all about my relationships, and I'm a very loyal person to the people, you know, in my circle, and that's one thing that's important is relationships and building those relationships. I was just talking to a gentleman earlier today, and I was telling him, I said, you know, I was at the bank, and we were talking, and I said, man, you look kind of like Ray Lewis. And so we started talking. I said, I played some ball overseas, and I was saying I went to Wofford College, where it's the smallest Division I school participating in football. And I told him, I said, although that was probably not the best place for if you wanted to play professional football, but it was the best place to build relationships. And so me being there and having an opportunity to be student body president there and the relationships that I was able to build, I'm still reaping from them today. So I think relationships are so very big and so extremely important. What do you think about relationships?
I think the world of relationships. It's like you said, relationships are everything. Any relationship you have has the potential to shape your life. Okay. So any relationship you have has the potential to shape your life in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Even if it's, like you said, somebody you meet at the bank or in line at the store or somebody you go to school with, someone you have a romantic relationship with, it all adds to the person that you are.
Most definitely. I love that you focus. And I know relationships can be so vast, but where do you lie in this relationship portion?
I would say I focus mainly on relationships with yourself so that you can have healthy relationships with others. And I focus mainly on romantic relationships only because I cater to single millennials, and that's kind of where our desire is to, well, a portion of us anyway, is to eventually have a healthy relationship and get married. But I think that the information that I provide, and that's what I love about this too, is that it works across the board. It'll work for your coworkers. It'll work for your family. It'll work for your friends. And I think that's an important step of having healthy romantic relationships, is practicing in those areas too. If you want to have a healthy romantic relationship, are you a good friend? Are you a dependable coworker? Can your family count on you?
That's great. That's great. I think that's very important. I think that all of the time I tell people, when you're working on a job, are you just really working? Are you just trying to get off the clock to go home?
Mm-hmm.
So when it's your turn for somebody to be working for you, will they be doing the same?
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that we have to ask ourselves. What queenly mean? Where did the name come from?
The name is kind of funny. I hope y'all don't think I'm shady. But there was a point where I was scrolling on social media and I just got so irritated to see every other post of a female just saying, oh, I'm queen, I'm queen, I'm queen. But they would have on, you know, like some lace front wig all the way down to the ground with some tight yoga pants, and they're taking butt shots in the mirror and caption queen. And I'm just like, really, like every other post. And I'm like, are there no prerequisites to calling yourself a queen? Do you realize, like, when you think about an actual queen, they set up their whole bloodline before you even get there so that you can be a queen.
Totally.
But we just completely want to skip the process and just give ourselves the title. And so instead of having it queen me, I said queen Lee, because I want to place the emphasis on the fact that we're always becoming. There is no there.
That's right. You
never really get to the throne.
That's right.
It's all about the journey and the process. So
I like that. You know, and that's the thing. I think a lot of us, we want what a title represents, but we don't necessarily understand what it means to have that title. And I think it's whether that is in a relationship, whether that's if you're a mother, if you are a father, if you are a wife or a husband, titles that we, these aren't things that were thrust upon us. Those are things that, now being a son or a daughter, you're born into whatever household you're born into. But anytime you interact in the fact of going into relationships with others, to whether that's a romantic relationship, whether that's a business relationship, whether that is in a relationship that you have with your child, you know, these are things to where we're in those roles, mm-hmm. and we have those titles. We have to understand the importance of those titles,
mm-hmm.
the importance of those roles. So I think that's extremely important. If we're going to call ourselves kings, we should act like kings. If we're going to call ourselves queens, we should act like queens.
Yep. So, that's all I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. And I like that. I think that is great. So tell me some background. What made you get to the point of wanting to even do this? Was it something you've always dreamt of, or where did this come from?
For as long as I can remember, well, this was back in the day when there were no rules, but my parents worked a lot. So sometimes I would have to go with my sisters everywhere. They would have to take me to school with them. They would have to take me on their dates. And I would just remember, like, I pretty much didn't say a word, but I was very observant. So I always, like, if I was in my sister's high school classroom with her, I would sit back and try to figure out, my little 3-year-old self, who likes who, and what's the difference in him reacting to her and him reacting to her? Oh, he must like her. That's why he did this differently. And I always was interested in relationships for as long as I can remember. When I was 10 years old, I decided I want to be a psychologist because I want to learn why people do what they do. Yeah. And I never, ever changed my mind. I have my master's now in psychology. But yeah, for as long as I can remember, I've just been interested in relationships. But sometimes the enemy will use your purpose against you.
Sure.
And for a long time, I made my relationships my identity. Mm-hmm. And that caused me to just go in a downward spiral for a long, it was a long, slow, downward spiral. Wow. I made my, when you make your relationships your identity, you can imagine what that does to a person to be in the wrong relationship with the wrong person for so long. Mm-hmm. I was in two back-to-back toxic relationships. One of them lasted for 5 years. One of them lasted for three. And I got to a point where I was so depressed. I was on the brink of suicide. I became a full-blown functioning alcoholic. Nobody, even the closest people to me, didn't even realize that I was struggling inwardly. And during the point where it should have been like the pinnacle of my life, I graduated summa cum laude with my master's degree, and I should have had the world in my fingertips, and I couldn't have felt more worthless.
That's right.
And so I ended my relationship, moved back in with my parents because we were shacking up, and just got myself together. I got a job as a teacher at that time. And I'll be 3 years sober next
month. All right. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And life was good. I was going on about my merry way. And then God just kept challenging me like, okay, you went through all this stuff. You learned all these lessons. You have all this wisdom. Are you just, what are you going to do with it? You're just going to keep it to yourself? And so I started writing it down, and that turned into me creating the blog, Queenly Me, as a place to just share my wisdom. And a lot of what she said, it kind of got bigger than me. At first, it was kind of just like my therapy and, you know, to get God off my back a little bit, like, okay, I'll share a little bit here and there.
That's right.
But once I started getting feedback from other people, it became bigger than me. It became my purpose. So
purpose is important. It's so important. I have, I think that the purpose of adults and parents is to make sure that they can help to figure out what their child's purpose is as early as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And help to cater to that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If you find that your child is gifted in this or gifted in that, or cultivate that as early as you can, you know, and it doesn't have to be something where, you know, I'm not saying to be in there like, the Jacksons. But
I was just about to say, don't go Joe Jackson.
But look, he also produced two of the best entertainers in the world and a musical family. So I don't know his methods, but
I'm sure there was a better way.
Yeah, but
you never go full Joe.
He said that.
You never go full Joe.
You never go full
Joe. You know. Just take the theory and then, yeah.
You never go full Joe. Okay, I have to remember that one. But yeah, I mean, I think it's very important. We see all of these personality tests, Myers-Briggs mm-hmm. tests, things like that, that helps you to kind of really understand a lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important, understanding yourself. And I always tell people, it's not us trying to find or look and see what we're supposed to be doing. It's just really finding who we are, because
mm-hmm.
within us it's going to show us, hey, this or that.
Yeah.
And that's great. That is important. Tell us a key to having a successful romantic relationship.
Well, we operate from the premise, when I say we, I mean the Queenly Me, and I call them the royal family.
Okay.
So it's a democracy here. They're okay. My partners.
Okay. Okay.
But we operate from the premise that successful relationships are made up of successful singles.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever life you're cultivating as a single, that is going to be multiplied whenever you get into a relationship. So what you want your relationship to be is what you need to be before the relationship gets there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot like what you said. You need to figure out who you are and be what I like to call a successful single. So that's basically just becoming self-aware, becoming aware of what your issues are and dealing with that, dealing with your past, pursuing your purpose and pursuing wholeness just within yourself. And then once somebody else comes into your life, you have a better understanding of who you are, so that all you have to do is communicate that to them, and focus your efforts on understanding who they are. A lot of the discord in relationships happens when we don't feel like we're being understood. So instead of being a team and I'm looking out for you, you're looking out for me, we're too busy trying to get you to understand my side, when we really didn't take the time to get a full understanding of ourselves in order to effectively communicate that. So I think just being a successful single, you're going to have a successful relationship. There's no way around it.
That's great. I like that. And once again, it gets back to us looking at ourselves, building up ourselves, getting ourselves right.
There's no way around it.
There's no way. I tell people all the time, you know, people, they come and they say, man, they had this checklist. I want a guy. He needs to be 8 feet tall and muscles like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he needs to have an IQ like Elon Musk, and all of these things. Yeah. And I always have to say, but does he want you? You
know? Yeah. Are you the type of person that he wants?
Right? And yeah. It's like, are you the type of person to where when he walked in a room, he would say, that's my girl?
Yeah. Or better yet, everything on your list, is that something you could check off for yourself?
Exactly.
You got to be the person that you want to be attracted to you.
That's correct. I think that's very important. So now I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked all of my guests. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest mistake in your life? And then what was your biggest gain? What was your biggest thing that you say, boom, that was it? What would that be?
My biggest mistake. Now, this is going to be real specific. So when I was in my 5-year relationship, there was a time that I broke up with him and he proposed to me. And he, at the time, he lived across the country. Mm-hmm. And so he proposed to me, and I moved across the country to be with him. When I got there, he not only broke up with me, but he questioned why I ever thought we were ever in a relationship to begin with. So my biggest mistake was probably putting my life and my goals on hold for someone else.
That's right.
My biggest gain would probably be when I got serious about figuring out what my purpose was. Mm-hmm. There was a point when I was trying to end my downward spiral that I really just sat and thought about everything I had been through. And although things were bad, they could have turned out worse. Mm-hmm. And I kind of questioned, like, how did I make it out of that? Like, there were so many times where my life should be over by now in a tragic way. So
that's right.
Why am I here? And God spoke to me and said that my purpose was my life insurance. And so I went through maybe like a 6-month journey where I really was just asking myself questions and figuring out what I was good at. And I really kind of just cut myself off from everything and everyone and just had that time with me and God so that he could really speak to me about what my purpose was. So that's probably my biggest gain, because it just completely turned my life. Just that 6 month.
It.
Yes. That 6 month period just completely transformed everything.
That's amazing. And I love that quote that you gave, too.
Exactly. I'm over here thinking, okay, she don't know this right now, but I already put that on a T-shirt. You'll be able to buy
give
it
me my
soon
foot.
Enough.
I know, right?
That's fine by me.
She said, yeah, your purpose is your life insurance. Okay, I like that. Yeah. That's good. So tell people how they can get in touch with you if they want to reach out about you or your services.
Mm-hmm. You can get in touch with me on queenlyme.com. And on Instagram at queenly.me. And you can also go on my personal Instagram at Constance D. Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N. And yeah. Oh, I'm also on YouTube at Constance D. Gordon.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's great. Well, we appreciate you having the time to come and sit down with us and discuss all your great things. And Monica and Mr. Harvey, this was a great show. We look forward to getting y'all on here in the next show. We're so excited. Next week, we'll be coming back at you again. But once again, from Buckhead, this is J.R. McNair and Velocity Radio. Till next time.
Till next time.